Thank you, men. Standing on the promises, all those promises God's given us, He'll never fail on them. He'll come through with them, and we're glad that we can claim them. Let's start our service this morning by singing, Come Thou Almighty King, hymn number 71, if you need the book. We welcome you to the service. Those watching online as well, we welcome you. If you would stand with me as we sing, please, Come Thou Almighty King.
Come Thou Almighty King, Thy name to sing, help us to pray.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Scripture reading this morning is from Prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. We just sang those words, Thy sovereign majesty may we in glory see. And we're going to see this morning in the message that this is exactly what Isaiah saw in his vision that changed his life there in the temple in Jerusalem. Beginning verse 1 of Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, make his ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten, as a teal tree, and as an oak, whose substance is in them, when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof." God add his blessing to his word this morning as we read it. Let's pray together. As we bow before you, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. The joy and the privilege we have to open it up and to see what you have to say to us. And Lord, even as Isaiah had this life-changing vision of your holiness and your glory and your majesty, may we also see that as we look to you and your word, as we keep our eyes focused upon your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And help us, Lord, to remember that it was for the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross, despising the shame. And he's even now set at the right hand of the throne of his Father there in heaven. We thank you, Father, for this privilege we have to worship you. I pray that we have come with that kind of attitude that John writes about. We are to worship you in spirit and in truth. And may you help us to grow in our understanding of who you are, to grow in your grace and in the knowledge of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray. Amen.
Hymn number 68. Pastor just read this. Holy, holy, holy is our song. Hymn number, page number 68. Number 58 is "All Creatures of Our God and King." Hymn number 58. Oh,
rushing wind that acts so strong. Ye clouds and sing.
Memory verse for this month is Proverbs 18:24. We'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference together, all right? Proverbs 18:24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Proverbs 18:24. Next hymn is Sing Praise to God, page number 55, if you need the book. Hymn of the month is O Great God. Should be on the screens. If you would, let's stand together and sing on these three verses together. O Great God of highest heaven, occupy my lowly heart.
O Great God of highest heaven, occupy my lowly and reign supreme, conquer every rebel power. Let no vice or sin remain that resists.
was blinded by my sin, had no wisdom to hear his voice. Did not know your love within, had no taste for heaven's joys. Then your Spirit gave me life, opened up your word to me. Through the gospel of your Son, gave me endless hope and peace. Help me now to live a life that's dependent on heart and guard my soul from the evils that I face. You are worthy to be praised with my every thought and deed. O great God of highest heaven, glorify your name to me.
As you're being dismissed, I'm going to dismiss the children. Those are ages 3 through 8 to their time of junior church. And as they're being dismissed, I'm going to call upon Libby Owens and Nate Sandall to provide special music for us at this time.
Thank you, Nate and Libby. It's a reminder to pray for Nate. He'll be undergoing shoulder replacement surgery tomorrow morning. So we'll pray for a good result from that and good recovery. So keep him in your prayers. Isaiah chapter 6. Steve, it's good to have you back leading singing for us. thankful for men that can step in when you're absent. But there's only one Steve. Okay, probably the wrong thing to say. I should say there's no one like Steve. And the abilities and God, talents that God has given to him. And we thank God for him. And the songs that are picked, it's uncanny how they match with the message. You picked Holy, Holy, Holy. We read from Isaiah 6, that passage where the seraphims are saying, Holy, Holy, Holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. And the song that Nate and Libby sang, Only One Life to Offer. This is Isaiah's response to the question that the Lord gives, who shall we send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah says, I'm only one life, but here am I, send me. And I'm constantly reminded when I hear that, when I read this passage, of something that Robert Helfenstein said. He said, you know, when Isaiah said, here am I, send me, it's as if the Lord could say to him and to anyone who would say that, here I am with you. Because when you respond to God's command to go in his name, remember that his presence is promised. He is there with you. So what a precious reminder that is to me of this very thing. Let's pray together as we begin this morning. Father, thank you again for the privilege we have to gather before your precious word. And I pray that you would quiet our hearts to the clamor and noise of the world around us that wants to get our attention and our affection. And may we place our attention and affection squarely upon you and your word this morning. To understand what you have for us, the challenge before us, to see you in all of your sovereign majesty and glory. Pray for Nate, especially as he undergoes his surgery tomorrow morning. Give the surgeons wisdom and skill as they operate. Pray for a good recovery and wonderful healing for him. Pray for just the rest that he needs to accomplish that. Well, thank you for this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah's life-changing vision. Probably 28 centuries ago, a man lost a good friend to an untimely death. The man was the man Isaiah. The friend, King Uzziah. One of the few righteous kings to occupy the throne of Judah. King Uzziah, you see, was a godly man. And he died at a time when his country needed his kind of leadership. And perhaps in loneliness, Isaiah made his way to the temple. And there God was waiting for him to give him encouragement. And even more so, to summon him for a special task. A special mission, which would give him the responsibility of speaking on God's behalf to the nation and the surrounding nations, which had become gripped in superstition and idolatry and pagan Eastern customs and immorality. And so there in the temple, Isaiah came face to face with a life-changing vision. And from his experience, I want us to see this morning what I believe to be a very important need for believers today in 2024. And it's always been a very pressing need for God's people. We need to experience what Isaiah experienced here in his vision. So the question to ask is, what did he experience? And what can we experience as well? As we see the Lord high and holy and lifted up. Well, there's a couple of scenes that we want to look at. Scene number one is Isaiah's vision of God in verses 1-4. And as we read those verses this morning, I'm going to read them again here just to refresh our minds. Where it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. When Isaiah saw this life-changing vision of God, he recognized, first of all, the sovereignty of God. Jehovah God, you see, to Isaiah was not frowning, pacing, anxious, or puzzled over the events that had taken place. Our God is sovereignly in control. Amen? No matter what's happening in our world today, he is sovereignly in control. And we need to recognize that. He is upon his throne, a higher throne than the throne of Judah, upon which King Uzziah sat. You see, Isaiah had lost a good friend. And God used these circumstances to make Isaiah aware of his presence. He was no longer going to have the presence of his friend Uzziah, but he always could count on the presence of his sovereign God. And that's what you and I can count on as well. We may have lost loved ones, friends, neighbors, co-workers, and their presence is no longer with us. But if you're a child of God this morning, God's presence is always with you. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Sometimes your loss may be of a dream, a job, a home, perhaps someone very special, perhaps an object that's highly valued in your eyes, yet in reality, it's of little worth. The loss of those such things results in a need for us to look to God for his help and his assurance. Because God is a greater king, greater in might, greater in majesty than King Uzziah, greater in holiness and authority than King Uzziah. And Isaiah needed to see that, the loss of his dear friend Uzziah. No priest could minister there in the temple. It belonged to the Lord God alone at this time. And perhaps Isaiah had gotten his eyes off the Lord God. With King Uzziah dead, Isaiah perhaps was wondering, what's going to happen to the nation? What's going to happen to the people of God without the leadership of King Uzziah? Isaiah may have had his eyes upon men, not upon his God. And there in the temple, the Bible says, I saw also the Lord sitting upon his throne. The spirit of this age, I'm talking about this age we live in, is to humanize God and to deify man. And we need to be aware of the presence of God in our lives and to see him sovereignly in control of our surrounding circumstances. He is upon the throne. He's attended by seraphims. And these seraphims stand ready for service, to cleanse saints for service. Their name means literally fiery ones or burning ones. And it's an expression, I think, of their love and their devotion to God. And their six wings teach us a lesson in love and devotion to him. Two wings covered their face. That's a reverence for God. Two wings covered their feet, teaching us a lesson in humility. Two wings for flying, that I think would give us a lesson on obedient service. They're ready to serve. And isn't there a need for Christians today to stand ready for service in their local churches? Absolutely. There's a need for Christians to show a genuine fashion in genuine fashion their love and devotion to the Savior who loves them so much. So he was attended by seraphims. And Isaiah also recognized not only is God on his throne, but God is holy. The holiness of God. It's revealed by the seraphim's song, what they were singing there in verse 3. And one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The emphasis here is on the holiness of God, a reference, I think, to the Trinity. Isaiah used the title, the Holy One of Israel, 25 times in his prophecy. Do we realize how holy God is? I think not. I think our understanding and finite minds really cannot fully comprehend that. We believe it. We surely believe it, and we should. And we have to spend more time meditating, contemplating on that great truth that God is holy. Recognizing the holiness of God ought to be a great motivation for us in how we are to live our lives on a daily basis. It's revealed by God's reaction to sin there in verse 4. The posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. His voice shook the foundations of the temple. The door rattled, smoke filled the temple, and his judgment was there. I think a reference to the smoke is his judgment was there. You see, God hates sin. It's contrary to his nature. I am so thankful that God loves the sinner. Amen? He loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. And do we not need to be reminded once again of the hideousness of our sin before a holy God? Isaiah had entered this temple only to see the Lord exalted, sitting on his throne, and the seraphim calling to each other in words of divine adoration. And one day, and that day may be soon for God's people, we may be joining them around that throne in divine adoration of our holy God. God had revealed his holy character to Isaiah in order for Isaiah to see his need for cleansing. And that's scene number 2. Isaiah got a vision of sin, his own and his people's. And so this was the result of seeing God's holiness. He recognized his sinful condition. He said, "I'm a man of unclean lips." He knew his specific sin. Isaiah had trouble with his mouth. I wonder how many of us have trouble with our mouth. I think if we were honest, we'd all say, yes, we all do. We have trouble with what we say. We put our lips in gear before the mind and brain is in gear. What he had been saying was not pure, was not clean. It certainly wasn't pleasing to the Lord. And so he confesses here, "I'm a man of unclean lips." And he wasn't alone in recognizing his sinful condition before the Lord. I want you to consider a couple others. Job, for instance, in Job 42, verses 5 and 6, when he said, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of mine ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." Job saw the Lord, and he recognized his own sinful condition before the Lord. Daniel chapter 10, verses 15 through 17, "When he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground and became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remains no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me." I think we could see here that there's a need for Christians to see their own sin as God sees it, to call sin, sin in their own lives first. Oh, it's easy to call sin, sin in somebody else's life. But remember, when you're pointing that finger at somebody else, you got three pointing back at you. He recognized not only his sinful condition, but he recognized the people's sinful condition. He said, I dwelled in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And as the prophet of God, Isaiah had to see the sins of the nation as a whole. But he could only be effective in serving God when he saw his own unworthiness. And as you and I look into God's word, do we see our own sinful condition before a holy God? Are we willing then to confess that sin and be cleansed? Oh, I'm so thankful for 1 John 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Proverbs 28 and verse 13 says it this way, he that covers his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. Mercy. Oh, there's a need for us to confess and forsake sin in our own lives so that we can be more effective in serving the Lord. And that's what Isaiah did. And in seeing this vision of God in all of his glory and all of his sovereignty and majesty, he recognized the holiness of God. And in response to that, he saw his own sinfulness and the sinfulness of the people. There's a third seed, and it's found in verses 6 through 7, Isaiah's vision of cleansing. And witnessing this remarkable scene there in the temple of God's holiness contrasted with his own sinfulness, Isaiah was overcome and he responded by saying, woe is me. Woe is me. Isaiah clearly recognized his need for cleansing. And this work of cleansing is God's work alone. You and I cannot do anything at all to cleanse ourselves from sin. It is all the work of God and his grace. Amen? Amen. His holiness demands that sin be purged in order for anyone to stand before him. That's why you have the rituals and the offerings there in the Old Testament. These were prescribed by God in his holiness. If you're going to come and worship and stand before me with my favor upon you, you need to come and offer these offerings. And what detailed offerings they were, as you read through the book there in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers as well. I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ fulfilled all of those offerings by one offering, the offering of himself, the once-for-all sacrifice for sins that not just covered those sins of the individuals who put their faith and trust in that, he took them away. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, took them out of the way, nailing them to his cross. I'm so thankful that he did that for us. Purging came here in Isaiah's experience through a live coal from the altar of God. And the seraph touched this coal to Isaiah's lips, which was the point of his greatest need. That was exactly what he had confessed. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. And so where was the cleansing applied? To his lips. And this shows God's power, not only his grace there in verse 6, but also his power in producing the work of cleansing. He says, and he laid it upon my mouth, verse 7, and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. You see, we are incapable of providing the means for our cleansing. We're incapable of producing the work of cleansing. It's God's work alone. And Isaiah here was given an affirmation of his forgiveness, along with hope and encouragement. And that's what every child of God ought to be able to grasp and hold on to. God has given to us hope and encouragement. No longer are there any other barriers to the usefulness that we have for our God. And his feelings here of worthlessness faded. Remember, he said, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. And in verse 8, he responds to the call of God. And there's a need for God's people to experience the grace and the power of God in forgiving their sins in order to rid ourselves of feelings of worthlessness and uselessness in serving the living God. Scene number 4, Isaiah's vision of service. This is verses 8 through 13. He said, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, make his ears heavy. Shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it, notice this, there's going to be a remnant. Yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree, and as an oak, whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Vision of service. Isaiah was reminded here of God's presence in all of his holiness and sovereignty. God was there in his life. And once he realized his own unworthiness and his sinful condition, once he confessed his sin and experienced the cleansing of God upon his life, then God was able to direct him in the path of service that he wanted Isaiah to go. The need was a divine need. God wanted someone to go. There's oft time our field of vision is so narrow, humanly speaking, that God has to lift up our chins and our eyes and help us look over the fence of our own comfortable backyards to look into his world, to see the need. And the need is for someone to go with the message of salvation. He needs us to do that, to tell the unsaved around us of the wonderful news that Jesus saves. That's good news. Boy, aren't we bombarded with bad news? We are. Here's good news. Let's bombard people with good news that Jesus saves. And so God expands our vision to help us evaluate our availability. Am I available to God for him to use? There's a great need for that, to evaluate our availability in serving the Lord. There's a willingness as well, and that's on the human side. And notice that Isaiah volunteers to go. Here am I, send me. His response was immediate. His response was without restrictions. He didn't say, here am I, wait a little while, I've got some things I need to attend to back home before I go. No. There were no restrictions, no hesitation, and no restrictions. How fast do we respond to the call of God for service? Maybe service that is needed to be given in local church ministry. How often do we place limitations on what we can and cannot do for the Lord? Remember what Paul wrote to the Philippians when he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. But that is a dependence upon the Lord and his strength. The command was to go and tell. Go and tell. I'm reminded of the women who came to the empty tomb that Sunday morning. And they found that it was empty. The Lord was gone. And when the Lord did appear to one of the women, it was Mary, it was in responds to the Lord's command, go and tell. Go and tell what you have seen. They first were given the invitation by the angels, come and see the place where the Lord lay. Come and see, then go and tell. Now we have seen the fact that he is a risen Lord. And he has given to us that command to go and tell. Are we responding to that command? And Isaiah wasn't given false expectations concerning his mission. He wasn't expecting glamour and glitter. But there's going to be hardship because there's going to be a disinterested people. And that's what the Lord is saying here in verses 10 and following. The people would be insensitive to his message. The heart of this people is fat. In other words, they were encumbered with worldliness rather than being cleansed with holiness. Heavy, people's ears were dull, hard of hearing, no understanding. And even though this prophet was faithful in preaching God's word, they would be hardened to the message. I'm so thankful for you Bereanites that you're not hardened to the message of God's word. What does it say there in Acts 17 and verse 10? People of Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Notice this, for with all readiness of mind. That's different than the response that Isaiah was told was going to happen. But with all readiness of mind, they searched the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. That ought to be our pursuit on a daily basis. Jesus spoke of this fulfillment and prophecy. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, verses 14 through 15. I'll begin reading at verse 10. The disciples came and they asked the Lord, why are you speaking unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables. Notice, because seeing, they see not. And hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of who? Isaiah. Which says, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross. Another way of saying it's they're fat. And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. Notice the contrast. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And would to God that that would be describing us always. We're seeing with understanding, we're hearing with understanding and a readiness to obey. What was the outcome? Verses 11 to 13. Isaiah 6, 11. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered unto the cities, be wasted without inhabitant, the houses without man, the land be utterly desolate. The Lord hath removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land, but yet in it shall be a tent, and it shall return. Shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak whose substance is in them. When they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. God has spelled out the bottom line of his message here. The profile of the people, the duration of the assignment. And he tells Isaiah the truth about the response that he would receive from the people of Israel. And he tells us the truth to make us focus on reality. And when God gives us a ministry to perform, we need to understand that we may not be popular. We may not be well off financially. But we will be fulfilled because we know that we are in the nucleus of his will. And there's no better place to be than in the nucleus of God's will. It's a great need for Christians today to know that, to experience the peace and the satisfaction of doing God's will. God often stops us and captures our attention and interest at the most unexpected moments. Even when we think that our lives are settled. And I believe, again, the crying need for Christian men today, and Christian women, Christian young people, is to experience this peace and this satisfaction in doing the will of God. Do we see him? Have we come to experience the depth of the vision of Isaiah here? Do we see God as sovereign and holy? Do we see ourselves as a sinner in constant need of cleansing? Do we see ourselves to be a clean vessel for the Master's use? No matter what the results may be, would we be willing to respond as Isaiah did? If he were to say to you tonight, I need you, or today, I need you, are you ready to serve me? How would we respond? Would we be willing to say, yes, Lord, here am I. Send me. I'm willing to do what you want me to do. With heads bowed and eyes closed, as we come to the close of the message this morning, what a challenge before us that Isaiah's life-changing vision brings to us. To see that holy, sovereign vision of God. To see the vision of our own sinfulness before a holy God and our need for daily cleansing. The vision of that cleansing that can only come from the grace and mercy of Almighty God, and see that vision of service. Lord, I want to be a clean, useful vessel, prepared and meet for your use. Father, as we bow before you this morning, I pray, Lord, that as we see with Isaiah, this life-changing vision, it would definitely motivate us, those who know Christ as Savior, to be a clean vessel that you can use. In whatever task you have for us, Father, we know that when you give us a task, you enable us to accomplish that task. And we trust you and we depend upon you for that enablement. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us this morning through your holy word and help us to respond, even as Isaiah did when he said, here am I, send me. I pray, Father, for perhaps those who are listening who've never put their faith and trust in your Son, precious Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. May they do so today, because that is the only way that they're going to have the assurance of sins forgiven and a home in heaven one day. And Lord, I pray that you would guide us as believers to take this message and tell others of the wonderful news that Jesus saves. I pray this in his precious name. Amen. Steve's going to come and lead us in a closing hymn. If he can be of help to you in any way, we stand ready and available to meet your need, to answer your questions, look into the Bible, and help you in that next spiritual step in your life, whether it be salvation, baptism, in obedience to the Lord's command, or church membership. Be glad to help you with that. Steve?
Hymn number 248, if you need the book. A servant's heart. There's two verses. Let's stand together and sing the two verses, if you would, please. It's not the right page. Let me look here. Hang on. Sorry about that. Somebody see it? 540. Thank you. 540. 48. 548. There's the page number. Sorry about that.
servant like you, dear Lord, living for others each day. Humble the meek, helping the weak, loving in all that I say. Give me, Lord, a servant's heart. Here's my life, take every part. Give me, Lord, a servant's heart. Help me draw so close to you that your love comes shining through. Give me, Lord, a servant's heart. Give me, Lord, a servant's heart.
Father, as the prophet Isaiah said, Lord, here am I, send me. Lord, help us to be able to say that as well in our lives. Lord, you'll be there with us to do it. But Lord, help us to have willing hearts to serve you, no matter where it is, whether it be in our local church, sharing the gospel, in our work, to other countries that so desperately need the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for this message this morning. Lord, give us a servant's heart that we might be pleasing to you and that you might do a great work through us. Be with our fellowship after the closing of this service. Lord, might we enjoy each other's company and that we would be challenged to come back tonight for the Word of God as it's presented again. Lord, continue to bless us in all that we do and all that we say. We pray in thy name. Amen.